नमी जाति दी We shall now do the Vedic chanting. Om Bhagme Manasi Pratishthita Manoho Me Vachi Pratishthita.
Om Bhagme
Abhihi Abhihi Me Yedhi
Abhihi Abhihi Me Yedhi
Vedasyamani Staha Shrutang Mima Prahasiha Ani no dite no ahoratran sangdadami Ritang Bodhiswami, Satyang Bodhiswami, Tatmam Abhatu, Tat Bhaktaram Abhatu, Abhatu Mam, Abhatu Bhaktaram, Abhatu Bhaktaram,
Abhatu Mam,
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
Om Shanti Shanti
Om Apayantu Mama Angani Bhak Prana Chokshuh Shrotramatha Balam Indriyani Cha Sarvani
Shrotramatha Balam Indriyani
Cha Sarvani Sarvyang Brahma Upanishadam
Sarvyang Brahma Upanishadam
Mahang Brahma Nirakuriyat Mama Brahma Nirakarot
Mahang
Anirakarnamastu, Anirakarnamiyastu Dharmaste mahi santo, te mahi santo Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
Om Shanti Shanti
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamiva Avashishvate Om Shanti 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 Om Sahana Bhutu Sahana Bhunaktu Saviriyam Karva Bahui Tejasino Aditamastu Ma Vidvishabahui Om Shanti 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 Om Shangno Mitraha Shangburunaha Shangno Bhavati Aryo Maha Shangno Indraha Bihaspati Shangno Vishnu Rukramaha Namah Brahmane Namah Te Vayu Swamiva Pratyaksham Brahmasi Swami Vapratyaksham Brahma Vadishwami Ritang Bodhiswami, Satyang Bodhiswami, Tatma Mavatu, Tadbhakta Ramavatu, Avatu Mam, Avatu Bhakta Om Shanti 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 ॐ नाम भद्रं कर्णीभिषणां देवाम् भद्रं पुष्येमाक्षोभियोत्रः स्थिरैरङ्गै तुष्टुवां शतनुभिः वशेन देवहितं यतायु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः We're now starting our discussion. Today, for some obvious reason, I'm going to speak in English. I'm now located in the United States of America, near a city called New York. It's at the New Jersey. I'm just now located at New Jersey in a hotel called Marriott Bonvoy. It's under the name of Sheraton here. I'm calling from the 8th floor of that hotel. Today is our discussion on Purna Yoga. Purna Yoga is a discussion which is a continuation of the last day's discussion of the Samadhi, Samadhi Mandire. Last day we had a discussion of God Connect, Samadhi Mandire. Now we are entering into discussion of Purna Yoga. First of all, I have to mention the background of Purna Yoga and those who have actually thought about it before we have thought about. The first about Purna Yoga was there in the Vedas. So that was in, the Krishna Yajur Vedas by sage Vaishampan. And in the Krishna Yajur Vedas, it was a discussion between Nachiketa and Yama, the concept of Supreme Brahman came in the form of Atman. And the conclusive point that was drawn in that was this: Atman is finally located everywhere in this creation, in this universe, and Atman is what we are actually dependent upon. When Atman is there in a human self, the Atman has a name called Jivatma, and the same Atman who is there, when he is there in the transcendent condition, is the Paramatma. So Paramatma is another symbolic name of the Supreme Divine, the Lord the Supreme. We call him Bhagavan, the God. And the God can get revealed in any form, any kind of, condition or any kind of description, and beyond all descriptions always. For example, when we think of God through our, the form of God that we worship, and a person can worship any form of God, whether the mother God or the masculine form, father God, or any other form of God, God in the neuter object like Shila, meaning the stone, God in the form of a stone, Narayan Shila is called, meaning a stone in who is representing the Lord Supreme in the form of Narayana. And it could be a void, could be air, could be water, could be light, could be anything that you can dream of. And of course, there was a teaching given in the Chandogya wherein it's mentioned about the void, supreme void, and he is present in the supreme void and he represents himself as a supreme void. Now, in order to understand that, the first invocation of that was actually initiated by, says, Vasishtha and Angira, but then it was described in details by, this Krishna Yajur Veda. And Vaishampayan, when he had taken up the conversation between Yama and Nachiketa, the conclusive point was that is the mind is the connecting cord. And the mind is the connecting cord of what? This is known to many of us who are present now in this connection today. Known to many of you, those who are connected with Shottar Path or, you know, other ways also, you are introduced to the concept of Atmana Rathinam Vidhi Shariram Ratham Evatuhu Buddhi Tu Sarathi Vidhi Manaha Program E Vachaha. Meaning the condition that has mentioned, the connection that has been mentioned is the Atman, the Supreme, is situated in this chariot of the body. Body, human body, this form is considered as a chariot. And a chariot is, in our parlance, it is a ratha. And the chariot was there in the Kurukshetra, in the war of the Mahabharata, where, you know, Lord himself was present in the chariot, not a symbolic, but, you know, it was an absolute truth. It was a truth in action. It was a rita. It was a satya. And that was a war of righteousness, to establish righteousness in the war of Kurukshetra, where one side was representing the very, very powerful, magnanimous kings, Dhritarashtra, and his, his son was given the, the charge of the state, meaning the temporary head of state or the derived head of state, Duryodhana, and his entire army, which was actually full of the great, warriors, and there were warriors who were actually considered undefeatable, like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Ashwatthama, and others. There were many others. But these were the pivotal, these were the main. And therefore, that was undaunted, very powerful, extremely powerful. And they were endowed with millions of the supporting soldiers on their side. And they were actually protecting the kingdom of untruth, the kingdom of unrighteousness. But this kingdom of untruth and kingdom of unrighteousness had to be smashed, demolished, and cracked through to establish the laws of truth and laws of righteousness. Lord Krishna's objective of being on earth was primarily two things. It was described by Bhagavatam, and that was very beautifully coined in the one of the, stories which Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya had entered into. The stories about Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya. I just read out a part of it. Gadadhar was one of his disciples. And the name of Gadadhar finally became Gaur Gadadhar. He was Gadadhar. But then finally he was given endowed with the name of Gaur Gadadhar, meaning he became Gauranga's own person. And how was it? Gadadhar was a very, powerful intellect, a very close friend of Gauranga, Sri Chaitanya later on. And both of them were there in the toll, the school. They were, learning and then teaching, thereafter teaching Vedanta, thereafter teaching the, basic principles of our scriptures. Gadadhar's intellect was very powerful. Now, what happened is, one day Gadadhar was there, plucking flowers in his garden, and then some people had appeared, and in one of them, he found he was, full of joy. Then he had asked, "What happened?" And then he said that, "I'm very happy today because, Gaur has come back. He has come back from Gaya. He went to Gaya, and from there, he has now returned." "No, okay. So what is that?" But he's saying that he has come back, but then He's actually not in actually senses. He's a different man. What is this difference? Then he said that he was previously full of arguments, you know, and both of you had a lot of arguments and duets, and many cases were there. Your arguments were so powerful that he, you know, taken your argument and then given his argument afterwards. And then he said, oh yes, he has come back. So it's a matter of joy. They all loved Gaur. And then what to do? Then he said that he has called a meeting in the house of Brahmachari. This Gadadhar was not invited in the discussion. When Sriman Pandit came, with the joy, and he narrated that we are all invited, but you are not invited. You are not invited in Shuklamba's house. Shuklamba's house, the next day, Brahmachari's house, Brahmachari has invited Gaur, and Gaur has invited some of his close persons. He said, okay, but then I want to go. Then Simonet said that you can't go because you are not invited. He said, so what? I like Gaur, I love Gaur, so I'll go. Even though I am not invited, I'll go. Then Simon said that, yes, you can. Shuklambar will not object because it is his house, but don't figure out. Don't come in the front. Then Gadadhar said, okay, I'll not come out. I'll try to hide myself over there. And so he went there. The discussion was about to start. Gaur came. He was there in the middle of many people who were actually connected with Shuklambar Brahmachari. He was a known person there. And then what happened is, when Gaur came, he was in the middle of many people, and all of a sudden he cracked into cries. He started loudly crying, saying that here was he. He was asking, where is my Krishna gone? He was asking those people who were present, then, where is my Krishna gone? Sri Krishna, he was here. Where is my Lord Sri Krishna? He was here just now. Where has he disappeared? Where has he hidden himself? And why has he hidden from me? I'm unable to see him. He was cracked in cries. And then everybody was, absorbed in some kind of thing, and had observed that he was having a real pain within. And it was, real kind of revelation of the emotions. After some time, he became, out of consciousness. And all people had to wait. And after a while, when Gaur came back to senses, it was heard that from a distance some cries are coming. Gaur could hear that cries. It was similar to the cries that he had, so he could understand the meaning of these cries. So he wanted to, find out what is this cries for. So he went inside the, house of Shuklambar's Brahmachari. It was there in the courtyard happening. And then he suddenly rushed to the, house inside, and found that a person was, hiding there. And the person was, thoroughly cracked in cries. And to his utter surprise, he found that it is Gadadhar. He took Gadadhar by his hand, took him out, and now both of them were in deep cries. After a while, when it settled down, Gaur had asked Gadadhar, by mentioning this, Gadadhar, you are my childhood friend. You are my closest friend. You knew who am I. you have an understanding of Lord Krishna, because I know that you have been arguing about Lord Krishna from the childhood. And I was arguing against that and mentioning about the Advaita, the supreme formless condition of God. And I was mentioning that God doesn't have any form, any color, any kind of identity. God can't appear in, you know, before the eyes. He can't be there in the world because the world is his creation. So how can he be lesser than his own creation? He can't be. So the creation is very vast. And if he takes a life that is a very small life, it will be a small, you know, contained form of a human being. Then how can he be so? And you were constantly arguing that, no, Lord Krishna is that, who is an embodiment of that entire, you know, the Supreme, Lord the Supreme, and he embodies everything within. You were arguing. So now you have to tell me, where is my Krishna gone? Why has he abandoned me? Now this Gadadhar had said, Gaur, I can see you within yourself. He said, what's that? Your Krishna has gone in a hide. He has taken a hidden shelter. In his own abode, he is now there. And this is his own beloved abode. This is his own beloved place. And he has taken himself into hide over there. And he is now resting there. Where is he? Tell me, go. Tell me, Gadadhar. He is there within your heart now. He was there before your eyes. Now he is there within your heart. Gauranga was amazed, and then they started chanting the name of Krishna. They started the Kirtana. The name of Krishna was figured in that Kirtana in that Shuklambar Brahmachari's house. In that meeting, there was the first appearance of revelation of the Lord Anath and Gauranga, representing the supreme oneness of that, had revealed himself in the eyes of people. And, you know, that was the beginning. Afterwards, he had sprayed the consciousness of Lord Krishna, the meaning of his being on earth everywhere, wherever he is gone, and through his words. When Patanjali Maharaj was talking about this yoga, he picked up in the beginning the stream of yoga as a practice, which we know in the world, yoga day, the practice is there everywhere in the world. Now it is a, you know, global event, and on the day of 21st June or before or after, people are used to do that, and even there are routines, there are, you know, people across the globe, many parts of India, Europe, America, other parts of the world, Asian countries, European countries, African countries, and Australian region, everywhere. Everywhere this yoga is getting, you know, popularized. But what is that? These are externalities which would actually serve your body and mind from the point of view of the world. But that is important. Patanjali had said that that is important. Yoga, what? He began his Yoga Shastra with the words that Ataha Yoga Anushasanam, meaning, come on, let's have some kind of practice of yogas for our betterment and for the betterment of the world. And it mentioned Yagaha Chitto Vritti Nirodha. The objective of yoga, he has mentioned, that the objective is to have a containment of the functionalities of our mind and memory, And when we have a containment of that, when we have a control over that, then we can do some more things than our empirical objectives in life. But then in the same breath, Patanjali had said, that is where is the, you know, most important dimension that Patanjali had mentioned is tadadrashtu swarupe avasthanam. Tadadrashtu swarupe avasthanam. Now you see him. You see him in what? In what kind of form? Na swarup. His own form. When Gauranga was there in the house of this Shuklambar, and in the house of Shuklambar, in the midst of his own, you know, known people who later on turned into his personal devotees and his companions in his spiritual journey, and all of them were there, and in the midst of all these people, the transformation of this personality, this, you know, God on earth, was actually visualized by everyone. And in that, when, you know, this point was mentioned, Gopinath's point was mentioned, then Gopinath, what, you know, it mentioned that he's there. He's not gone out. He's not, fled from you. He's not gone anywhere else. Yes, he's there. He's there within your heart. And he's there in the right place of his own, you know, choice and love. That's the place of his own choice and love, where the Supreme Personality, Lord Krishna, has taken a shelter in. Where is this place? This place is your heart. Now let's come to the point what was being mentioned by Yama to Nachiketa. He was mentioning that this body is considered this body as a chariot. And what is that you are going to concentrate upon? Your mind is going to see what? Your mind is going to visualize what? Your mind is going to be in touch with what? Your mind is going to be in touch with your intrinsics. And there you will find, when you are crying, that intrinsics you will find is taken shelter within yourself. Now there was another incident was Gopinath. Now Mahaprabhu Chaitanya had planned to make a visit to, you know, Vrindavana. And then they were there now in Nilachal, Puri. And then he wanted to go to Vrindavana, and so he decided. Gopinath had said, I want to accompany you. But prior to that, there was an incident that there was a Kshetra Sanyas, meaning a kind of a scarcity which is for the place, meaning you have a devoted place. Now, devoted place is what? And in that, you know, you have got a task. You've got an assigned task. God has assigned you with a task. Now, task is what? This is your responsibility. You do this. Gopinath was given a responsibility of Lord Krishna's one form where he is being worshipped over there. One particular form, and you have to worship that, you have to maintain that, and you have to, you know, project that. You have to explain that to people, and you have to, you know, mention the glory of that condition of the Lord. And in that condition, which is, you know, early life of Gopal, and this early life of the son of, you know, Yashoda, and this very early life, there are a lot of, you know, plays, Leela, which were there, and you have to project that. So it is your role. And he took a vow that, yes, I'm going to take it up. So he had accepted this as Kshetra Sanyas. These are, you know, kind of ascesis, which is a devoted walk which you have to do or you are destined to do. Now, the devoted walk is assigned to Gopinath. Kirchura, the Gopinath. Now, Gauranga wants to go to Vrindavana. He is attracted. He says, I'll accompany you. Gauranga says, no, you can't. He says, no, you have to accompany, you have to allow me to go. And he says, no, I can't allow you because you have taken a vow that you have, taken the charge of this action, this activity, the service to God. You can't leave this place. He says, no, I can't leave you. So I have to accompany you. Whether you give permission or not, I'm going to be there. But I'm seeking your permission. Please give me permission. He says, no, you can't. Mahasudra Sarvabhauma was also there, was witnessing the incident. And Gopinath, who was there, who was denied the company of, Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya. And then Gopinath was in a pensive mood, came back to his place assigned by God. He was in a, very sorrow mind. But he was doing his duty, he started doing his duty. Gauranga wanted to proceed. But then all of a sudden, he found that he should not go. He can't go. There was a resistance from within. And the resistance from within made him sorrow. That he wanted to visit Vrindavana. The cry of Vrindavana, entire context of Vrindavana, the entire condition of Vrindavana had revealed in his consciousness now. He was there in that form of Vrindavana at that point of time, wanted to go, but he could not. Lord could not move. He could not move. He had to take a stop. He had to change his plan. He had to come back. And he had to be, contented with his own set of activities. He could not move to Vrindavana. Then he was asked, Vasudev Sarvabhauma had asked him, Lord, what has happened? What has gone wrong with? He said, is the Gopinath? He is not in a happy mood. He is having pains in mind. He's in a pensive mood. So I can't move. Because his love for me, his love for God has actually haunted me. I'm now, covered with that love for God by a person, and I can't overcome the barriers of that. I'm contained within. I'm now, covered. I'm now, having a boundary which I can't cross. I can't move further. Lord is now constrained by the emotions, by the love, by the devoted love, by the total consecrated love of Gopinath. He had an extreme love for Gauranga. He had an unquestioned total devotion for Gauranga. He had a total surrendered mind, which was surrendered to Gauranga. And he was thoroughly, totally devoted to that. And it was so much, it was so powerful, it was so strong, that Gauranga, the Lord himself, even could not move forward. This is what has been mentioned by Lord Krishna to Arjuna also in the Bhagavad Gita, wherein he was said that the devotion, when the devotion is full of faith and love, devotion can't store in yourself without the complete faith, without the unquestioned, uncontroversial, unquestioned, non-discussed faith. And an unquestioned degree of enormous, infinite love for. So then only devotion, arises. Gopinath had that devotion stored in mind. And Gopinath, was eager to accompany, couldn't. But now he's back to his doctrine place, where Lord himself has advised him to do, perform the work of God, perform the service to God. Now he is doing the service to God, God in his Balya Lila, meaning his early phase of life, what in kind of play, what kind of, you know, leaving the stories of his life with his mother, Yashoda, and all people who were there in that area. And Yashoda, when she used to have an interaction with Gopal at that time, a lot of incidents she realized, she saw, she understood many incidents, but then after all, at the end of it, she thought that it is my Gopal who doesn't know anything, who can't do anything, who is actually thoroughly dependent upon me because I am the mother. And she used to own up that entire child. She used to own up that, you know, child in the childhood, in the early youth of his, you know. And then that ownership of the mother made a beautiful relation between Gopal and his mother Yashoda. And that was objective, to project, to propagate. Lord Krishna had, Gauranga had narrated later on, it is there in, Bhagavat. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat is mentioned that, you know, Chaitanya was a storehouse of the love. He was an embodiment of love. He was an embodiment of devotion. And this love of devotion, which was, you know, was of an extreme variety, a supreme variety. And this love and devotion, this is something which is an endowed thing. This is, he has this endowment. He is there, endowed with that. He is a symbolic of that. He is full of that. And he has got a purpose of having descended on earth. And the purpose is to pray, is to spread the, you know, message of love and message of devotion across. Now, what happened is, you know, this message actually was actually attempted by the yogis. Patanjali Maharaj wanted to create a synthesis between, wanted to create a synthesis, meaning this is, you know, in our Vedic economy, had mentioned about the Samanyam. Now, Samanyam is creating a synthesis. Synthesis between what? Synthesis between what? Synthesis of what you have now and what you aspire to become. What you are now and what you want to become. So, synthesis is actually the synthesis between your being now and your would be, you know, at a later point of time. Now, when it's talk about your being now, then what happened is, it is your material identity and at the same time, your intrinsic identity. Now, what is that intrinsic identity? Lord Krishna has mentioned Arjuna about that intrinsic identity. And then when they were there in the field of Mahabharata, in the field of Kurukshetra, in the context of Mahabharata, Lord is seated on the chariot and Lord is driving the chariot. And Arjuna, the warrior, he is there, standing on the chariot with his all arms and everything, equipped with all things, all power, all strength. And he has to fight, he has to involve himself into a war, and his objective is to defeat the forces of unrighteousness, the forces of evil, and establish the rule of truth, establish the rule of the divine, establish the rule of, Lord, rule of divinity, the righteous principles in this world. The world should be governed, should be driven, should be coordinated through and by the principles which are drawn and derived and loved by and appealed by the, you know, supreme divine, supreme form of divine. So this was the purpose. Now, but then what is the combination? The combination is that there is a chariot, and in the chariot, Lord is there. Lord is the driving force. Now, until now, Lord was the driving force with a dictate from, you know, the person who is the owner of the chariot. Arjuna was the owner of the chariot and Lord was the driving force of the chariot, but Lord was taking the, you know, guidance from Arjuna. So what happened is, in the beginning of the war, Arjuna had said that, you know, Sakha, you place my, meaning friend, you place the chariot between the two, you know, two groups of armies, and I need to see whom I am going to have the war with. Who are those, you know, on the other side of the war? I want to see that. And this was the kind of suggestion, advice, doctrine, direction given to the chariot, the person who is actually having the custody of the driving force of the chariot, called a driver. So Lord Krishna, as a driver, he had to, you know, take the dictate from Arjuna, and he, you know, had placed the chariot over there. Now, this is the point when it was at the dictum of Arjuna. Now, what is the, you know, the culminating point in that phase? The culminating point in that phase, the result in that phase was, Arjuna's chariot was placed between two armies. Arjuna could have a, you know, personal witness of at a place of the other side, and he saw on the other side his very dear, you know, grandfather, the, you know, Bhishma, who he was in thorough love with. He had a total, you know, respect for, and on the other side, Bhishma also, as a, you know, as a grandfather, had nurtured this Arjuna from the childhood, and was in thorough love for Arjuna. Both were in love to each other. Both were very close to each other. Within the mind, both were so close to each other. This was their worldly relation. The relation based on the relationship, how it's established in the world. Now Arjuna had observed that if I have to do the war and win the war, I have to kill that man. But I can't. How do I? He's my grandfather, he's my dear one, he's my so close one, how do I? Then again, Arjuna's, you know, vision was casted on his master, his, you know, the master Dronacharya, Acharya. Acharya Dron was a person from whom he took the, you know, training of the entire, whatever he's learned mostly is drawn from Acharya Dron. And Acharya Dron was so much in love for Arjuna that he was sometimes at times blamed by other, you know, trainees in his camp that, you know, you have one-sidedness with Arjuna and you are so much in love for Arjuna that you give him so much additional that your everything, entire knowledge, you have transferred to Arjuna, but you are not giving to many of us. So Dronacharya or Acharya Dron had the, you know, argument saying that Arjuna is the only person I found in my career who deserves to have the entire knowledge of my own and plus and many things more from many other sources. And this is what had happened. Arjuna took, you know, got the entire knowledge of Dronacharya, but then again it did not stop over there. Arjuna had the chance, God had created the chance to, you know, take the complete blessings and the power of Lord Shiva and, you know, the weapons to do the war from Lord Shiva, the power from the, you know, the gods in the world of gods, from all devtas, from the world of gods. And he was in a kind of combination. Arjuna's combination is almost kind of, there are comparison. One of the, you know, Western scholar, he had compared this Arjuna's having received the power from different sources, you know, different sources, have, you know, Arjuna's, this power, which Arjuna could receive from, and it was compared with, you know, Chandi, Durga, where Durga could get the, you know, weapons, power, strength, energy from different forms of God, Durga, you know, in order to defeat Mahishasura or the, you know, demons. demon king and the demons in order to defeat them, in order to crash them to, you know, you know, to sublimity. And then she was endowed with all the power. Durga is a, in a combination of all shakti, all energy, all power. And it has been compared that in the context of the Mahabharata, you know, Arjuna is the Durga Shakti. Arjuna represents that Durga Shakti. What is the Durga Shakti? Durga Shakti is a combination of divine power. And Arjuna had that, you know, blessings from all different, you know, forms of God and all entities in the, you know, world of divinity. Arjuna had the blessings from everyone, and he had the endowment from everyone, and he got his weapons, his power, his energy from everyone. And therefore, he was so, you know, unmatched in his power and his strength. He could alone destroy all others, you know, without doing the war of Mahabharata. He could do that. He had that absolute power. He had that power equipped with the divine weapons of all different kinds, which are non, you know, which could not be resisted by anybody in on the other side. You know, he could have, and he had proved that when, you know, after this, 12 years plus, you know, living in the forest, you know, when they were there in the Birat Raja, the king of Birat, and that was, you know, attacked by Duryodhana, assuming that Arjuna could be there, and they came forward. Actually, they had the right information from the, you know, their war information, informers had given the right information that they were there, but it was so late because on the last day of this, you know, occasion, on the last day of the period, he could come with his own team of soldiers and attack this Birat Rajya. But then Arjuna was in a different form, was, you know, giving training on art and culture, and his, you know, own form was also, you know, a little bit different, transformed. And then that was the last day also for him also to get back to his own form. And it was almost close to sunset. So, you know, at the time of twilight, which is no longer the day nor the, you know, night started. So that was the end of the day, but the night is not yet started. That is the point when Arjuna had the opportunity of, you know, for showing his own power. And the entire team of Duryodhana, who had come for this aggression, and they wanted to capture Arjuna from over there, and they were all, you know, brought down to out of senses, and with one weapon across, Arjuna could, you know, bring down everybody to out of senses. Now, that was an occasion. Arjuna could tell Birat Raja or the king of Birat and his son that, you know, go and arrest all of them or chop off their heads. He could do easily. Or Arjuna himself could apply another weapon to cut their heads. He could do. And if he had done on that day, there couldn't be any kind of, you know, force, any kind of strength on the side of the demons and the, you know, ills and evils. But then that was not the destiny. Destiny was that he needed to be in the company of Lord himself, Krishna, and there has to be a Bhagavad Gita giving a complete lesson, and then the war has to be fought. And Arjuna did never use this, you know, weapons gifted to him by the divines, by the forms of God, but he had always stuck to his own ways of doing war, you know, whatever he has learned in his own life of learning. And so therefore, that was a chance when Lord himself was there on the chariot. But in the first instance, it was Arjuna's driving or giving order to Lord. So he obeyed that. He obeyed that. And the chariot was placed in between, and that had created problems in the mind of Arjuna. And the mind of Arjuna, what was the problem? The problem was actually Arjuna, you know, found that actually he was deluged. He was out of senses. He saw that on the other side, the people who are there, they are his close people. How can he kill them? He can't kill them. Now, if he has to kill them, then he is causing, you know, harm to his own sense of, material sense of the, you know, purity and truth. So he is going to harm that. So that was there in his mind. So what is the cause and effect? The cause was Arjuna had applied his own intent, his own, you know, intellect, his own ways of thinking, his own ways of, you know, doing, his own wishes, his own approaches to life, and the result was he was deluged. He couldn't even hold back his Gandiva, and the Gandiva is the first weapon which he had used, and that is the weapon which is the most powerful among all weapons, and without that Arjuna can't do war. But even the Gandiva could not be held by him, it had fallen from his hand. So now Arjuna is a powerless person. Now see the context. The context is on the other side, all enemies are there. Bhishma, Drona, etc. All the enemies, you know, several lakhs of army. Duryodhana himself is there. On this side, you know, the Pandavas are there and their allies, they are very small in number. And in the middle, there is a chariot. And now chariot is almost in front of, Bhishma, the head of their army. Opposition army, and the most important enemy is Arjuna. And you see, now the entire the forces of devil, the forces of demons, they are there with all their total wholesome power. And here is their, you know, object of, you know, such an object of, you know, driving down or killing. Now there is a chariot there, where the chariot driver doesn't have any weapon, Lord Krishna, and he has promised that I'm not going to have the weapons for war. I'm not. He has given an oath or word. And then the person who in the other side is actually looking for Arjuna, he is there, you know, without any arms. So what could have been the logical, you know, consequence here? The logical consequence would have been Duryodhana himself could come down and could pick up Arjuna by his hand and chop off his head, cut his head. And so that would have, you know, finished the war. The unrighteous people, the evils could have won the war. But what had happened? This was the context. This was the reality. But the next form of reality had a beginning with this reality. And you see, the entire, you know, forces of the other side, they were spellbound. Nobody could move. Nobody could understand what is happening over there. This only a chariot, right, you know, over there. Arjuna doesn't have any weapon in hand. And Krishna is telling something to Arjuna. That was the only view that they had. Nothing else. And Lord Krishna started telling the spirit of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in this context. When Arjuna was thoroughly in danger, Arjuna could have been picked up by anybody on the other side in senses and could have created harm to him to the extent of killing him. There was no, you know, support for Arjuna that time because, you know, the chariot driver, Lord Krishna, is promised that he's not going to do any war. And Arjuna is left to the mercy of everybody, but nobody could understand that this is what has happened. So this is the design of the Lord. Now when Nachiketa gets a knowledge from Yama that this body is a chariot, and this chariot is usually normally driven by the owner of the body. Who is the owner of the body? You do consider that you are the owner of the body. Your body is, yes, is my body. There is now a slogan in the modern world is, you know, I wish that I am left to myself. I wish that I am given the chance to have my decision on myself. That's very fine. That talks about individual right. That talks about individual human right. There are a lot of laws. Each country now in the world almost more than 130 countries have passed their, you know, human rights law, their own human rights law. Now, that's good. But then this idea, this, you know, concept of human right denies the other idea, the other intrinsic truth within. And what is that other intrinsic truth? The other intrinsic truth says that you are having two identities. One is your empirical identity, your form, your structure, that the way you are looked at, the way you are, you reveal yourself to the world and to others. And there is another identity of yours. And that another identity is your intrinsic identity. When Gopinath had said, Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya had asked him, Gopinath, you are always, you know, you always used to talk about Krishna. So you should be knowing where is Krishna. So Gopinath, you tell me where is my Krishna gone? Gopinath says, your Krishna has taken a, you know, hidden shelter. And your Krishna, he has taken the hidden shelter within yourself. And that is the most beloved place of his. And he has taken shelter within the cave of your heart. And if you look within, you'll find your Krishna is there. And you will be in touch with that. And you know very well, you are that also. So your Krishna is inside you. Now we find that Krishna which is inside yourself is now revealed through you. We see you and we see Lord Krishna. We feel, we understand, we realize that you are that Lord Krishna. You have possessed Lord Krishna within and you have become Lord Krishna without as well. Now when it's in the context of Kurukshetra, Arjuna and Krishna are separate entities. Now it's said, Katopanishad, it's said by, you know, Nachiketa, by Yama to Nachiketa, that, you know, you can transform the life. What is the transformation? Now, this life is driven by your doctrine. You are maintaining this life, which is driven by your doctrine. How is your doctrine fixed? Your doctrine fixed is based on your choice, your tastes, your preferences, your wishes, the idea about satisfaction, your idea about good and bad, your idea about your way of life, your idea about your life, your idea about the life in the world. But he says, when you transform this, when you transform this totally and find that Lord within, and find the Lord is there within, and understand, you realize the Lord is there within. And when you realize, when you understand the Lord is there within, what you do is what you take the cues, direction for life from that Lord within. Now your intrinsic self is guiding the extrinsic. This is what is a, you know, point where Patanjali is coming. He is saying, Tadadrashtu Swarupe Avasthanam. There are a lot of people who have misinterpreted Patanjali. Actually, the entire stream of a religion is derived from Patanjali's three principles. Only three principles. And they are ruling in the world, driving even in the United States, in the entire Western world. There are a lot of places where they have their own place. And, you know, they are doing campaign, saying that these are all, you know, done by them. With all respect to them, I would like to say that this is originated with Patanjali. And that is also derived from, you know, our Atharva Vedas. And this is Sumantra and says Atharvan. They are the originals, you know, and their disciple Patanjali, he has actually got this endowment from Lord himself in the form of Saraswati. Patanjali is saying, Maitri Karuna Mudita Upekshanang Sukha Dukha Punya Apunyaha Maitri Karuna Mudita Upekshanang Sukha Dukha Karuna Sukh Dukkha Punyang Apunyang. This is the fundamental principle of Buddhism. Based on this, the entire Buddhism is constructed. The Majjhima Nikaya is based on this. The fundamentals of Buddhist philosophy. But again, of course, as usual, this never, meaning as usual with most people, is not mentioned. That is Patanjali Maharaj who had visualized this. What is that? Patanjali wanted to have an understanding through yoga, yoga anushasanam, and you have to reach unto the samadhi. And when you reach to samadhi, then you have all chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. Now your chitta vritti, meaning the mind, the conditions of mind which are impacted and influenced by things external, extrinsics, the mind is exteriorized. And the exteriorization is so much so that the mind is constrained by the driving forces outside. And the desire, the greed, the anger, the gluttony, the envy, the covetousness, the kind of, you know, emotions that we have created across the human self, all these are, you know, structural contributions of this world around. So mind is actually fed by things and elements from the world around. Now this mind needs to be consolidated. What is that consolidation? When chitta vritti is nirodha, meaning when the functionalities of your mind in the form of your memory and storing down things which are drawn from outside, then you try to resist that, you try to block that. And what do you do? You do, as cases, a kind of meditation wherein you get in touch with yourself. And what is that yourself? That yourself is your true identity, is the Swarupa. Swarupa is what? Ishvara Pranidhanat Va. Meaning you try to pranidhan, you try to have a concentration, you try to have a relation, you try to have a transaction with God within. And when you have the transaction with God within, you have the God revealed within yourself. Now when Lord Krishna was there in the, you know, he took a hide and he was there in the heart of, you know, Gauranga. And when Gadadhara mentioned that, you know, he was asked, where is my Krishna gone? You tell Gadadhara, because you were always talking about Krishna. So you should be telling. You tell me, where is my Krishna God? And he said, your Krishna is there, stored, you know, he has taken shelter in your heart. And you know why? Because he is helpless. Why is he helpless? Because the Lord is helpless now, he can't move. Because, you know, of the sheer and the extreme kind of love that you have for him, he can't leave you. He has to be there within your heart. Because you have got an extreme variety of love for him. You don't have any love for yourself. You don't have any love for anything else. You don't have any attraction for anything else. You don't have any attraction for yourself. You have the extreme concentrated love for God. And that's why even Gauranga couldn't move. Gadadhar was in a pensive mood. The devotee, the bhakta, he was in a pensive mood. He was hard mentally. He was eager to go. He was eager to accompany his most beloved personality, Lord, you know, Sri Chaitanya. His most beloved personality, he wanted to accompany him, but he was obstructed because of certain valid reasons. Because he has taken a vow that, you know, I'll be here offering my service to the Lord who's, you know, in the Ali form of Lord. And his leela, his plays, and that form, I want to spread across to the world. And that's my, you know, role. I'm destined for that. I'm destined for that. The Balo leela, the, you know, early lifehood, the life plays of Lord Krishna. Yashoda is there. There are a lot of people are there. A lot of activities were there. A lot of incidents were there. I need to spread that. I have to. So I take a vow of Kshatra Sannyas. You know, a kind of ascesis where I am devoted to something very specific. This was again given by Shankaracharya to all four of his devotees. Now, Padmapad was very much keen to have a, you know, knowledge, the wisdom. And Shankaracharya had said, Padmapad, you want that wisdom? Do you understand what is wisdom? Padmapad had said that, yes, I understand wisdom because I have seen you. You are an embodied personality of wisdom. The entire wisdom is within yourself. No element of knowledge is outside you. Every element of knowledge is within yourself. You are there. I believe that you are that wisdom personified. So, yes, Padmapad, you think that I am wisdom personified. So, where do I stay? You stay everywhere. Oh, do you think that I am there in the place where Lord Jagannath is also there? He's a God, is God in a form. Do you think that I'm there? Do you think that, you know, that place, Shri Kshetra, that place which is actually a place full of divinity, I'm there? Yes, you are there. Padmapad, you do your ascesis there. You do your swadhana, your meditation there. The wisdom is located, is inbuilt there in every dust, every element of dust. And later on he had said, you know, even in the places where the Krishna movement and Lord Krishna's, you know, divine play were there, his touches were there, each place he said that the dust is a symbolic of the entire. You pick up one element of dust, and that one single element of dust contains what? He says, Padmapad, the entire range of wisdom is there in the single element of dust. You pick up, you meditate upon, and you see that the entire wholeness you will find. The entire wholeness you will find. I just read out one part from Radha Penrose, wherein he is actually, in the Road to Reality, he is mentioning the wholeness. And the great, you know, physicist, Roger Penrose. Throughout the history of physical science, I'm quoting Roger Penrose. Throughout the history of physical science, progress has been made through finding the correct balance between, on one hand, the strictures, temptations, and revelations of mathematical theory, and, on the other, precise observations of the actions of the physical world, usually through carefully controlled experiment. Mathematical coherence is far from a sufficient criterion for telling us whether we are likely to be on the right track. We find that aesthetic mathematical values begin to take on a much larger goal than they did before. Researchers often point to the success of Paul Dirac, Schrödinger, of Einstein, of Feynman, and of many others in their being guided to some considerable extent by the aesthetic attractions of the particular theoretical ideas that they put forward. This is quoted from Roger Penrose, The Road to Reality, A Complete Guide to the Laws of the Universe. It is, you know, 2007 publication of his, and is a very, very important publication of Road to Reality. Is a close to 1,000 pages work of Roger Penrose. Is one of the most important publication apart from Shadows of Mind of Roger Penrose, and is one of the most, you know, profusely quoted, you know, quoted by millions of people across the globe, scientists and everybody across the globe, wherein he has actually submitted to the aesthetic, wherein he has narrated later on that what is his meaning of aesthetic? It's not the beauty which is externally visible. It's that the, intrinsic principles of the beauty, intrinsic principles of the expositions which we find in the world. In the world, we find something structural. In the world, we find something which is visible, audible, which is touchable, which can be seen. But then, what is the intrinsic aesthetic, beauty of that? Intrinsic beauty are the intrinsic elements which are contained within. And those intrinsic elements, when you get unfolded, then you, Padmapad, you understand what is this wisdom. Shankaracharya says, you sit here, you meditate here. And that was the meditation. And what was then done? It was done that tat pratishedartha ekatyanga bhyasaha. Patanjali has said that tat pratishedartham ekatyanga bhyasaha. What pratishedartham? Meaning what to resist? You have to resist the externalities. You have to resist that extrinsic exteriorization. Externally oriented mind and self. Externally oriented attention and our awareness. Externally oriented human consciousness. You have to resist that. Pratishedartham. Pratishedartham. Pratishedartham meaning you have to resist that and then what? Do what in that place? You do that ekatyam, oneness, supreme oneness. Supreme oneness is what? That supreme oneness, Shankaracharya suggests, Padmapad, you walk on that. He is that pragyan. He is that wisdom. Lord himself is that wisdom. Pragyanam brahmya. Pragyanam brahma, he is that. Lord is that supreme wisdom. And that wisdom, when you get inside, you'll find it covers everything. That wisdom has taken form. That wisdom has expanded into form. That wisdom has expanded into activities in the form. And that wisdom has been depicted in the world in different phases of the form, in different structures of the form. And that's how the world has been composed of. But when you unreach, when you unleash that, intrinsics of the wisdom, you find that its core is full of that divine who had actually taken hide in the core of the heart of Gauranga. That supreme Lord, he takes a hide within. Where is my Krishna gun? Then Gopinath says, your Krishna has taken a shelter within your heart. Padanjali wants to uncover that. He says that you meditate upon. You meditate upon, you go inside, you drive down inside, you find that it's your punyatya, the fullness. You get in touch with the Lord and he is full in himself. You understand that he is so full that he's full in every respect. He's always whole. He's always the complete. That's what actually Roger Penrose wanted to attempt. That Roger Penrose wanted to have an understanding of what is that wholeness? What is that full? Where nothing is fragmented. No fragmentation. No discrimination. No way, nothing, no fragment, no spark out. It is the entire thing. What is that? He says, it is the intrinsics. It is the intrinsic realization of the supreme within. He says it is the aesthetics of that. In his own language and parlance, he mentioned is the aesthetics which is beyond these externalities. It is beyond externalities. Externalities is what we are used to, accustomed to. But it said that it is beyond externalities, and you are to proceed to that beyond externalities. And that's what has been mentioned. Maitri karuna mudita vyakshanam dukho sukho punyam apunyam vidataha. Now you do maitri, is friendliness to everybody. Karuna is in compassion. Compassion is picked up from here by Buddha. Compassion. Mudita is the taking delight in others, is again picked up by Mahayana. Hinayana and Mahayana, these two streams. And upeksha is, being indifferent. We know this, the stream of meditation of withdrawal. Pratyahara yoga. Pratyahara yoga is what is the stream of meditation which talks about the withdrawal. And that withdrawal is what? Withdraw from your attachments. And when you withdraw from your attachment, what do? You withdraw from attachments of the world, you withdraw from your greed, you withdraw from your selfishness, you withdraw from your hatred, you withdraw from your power of discrimination, you withdraw from your jealousy, you withdraw from any kind of backbiting, you withdraw from your envy, you withdraw from your, you know, egocentrism, you withdraw from your selfishness, you withdraw from your empirical identity, and you now search out what? You get inside. You get inside and you interiorize. Sri Aurobindo has emphasized very strongly upon this interiorization. We are having this exteriorization in this world as a world of this modernity and postmodernity. We need to be what? We need to do what? We need to be into these externals as we are thriving in this world. But at the same time, we need to be absorbed within the world of within where the Lord desires. Gopinath had mentioned to Gauranga that he is gone. He has taken a shelter within yourself. And he is getting revealed to you. Why? Because you have cultivated and generated and developed a love for him. Unquestioned love, undaunted love, absolute love. Non-fragmented love, and then only you understand the wholeness. Where is that wholeness? Lord Himself is the wholeness. What is then Purna Yoga? You are now totally connected to God. You are now totally connected. Not only that you are connected, you are now totally covered by God. Now God has taken shelter in you. Not only that, God has taken over you. Now, Lord Krishna is there in the chariot. You know, he gives Arjuna the message, the lesson. He gives Arjuna the lesson of Atman in the Sankhya. He gives Arjuna the message of karma, the, you know, doctrine of work. He gives the Arjuna the message of Raj Yoga and different principles of yoga. And he gives Arjuna the message of other streams. Before that, he reveals his complete identity, Vishwarupa, this, you know, cosmic form of the Lord. And then he calls upon Arjuna to, you know, have a consecration upon Yat Karoshi Yatasnoshi Yat Juhoshi Dadashi Yat Yat Karushvashi Arjuna Tat Kurushva Mat Arpanam. Arjuna, whatever you are doing, any kind of work that you are doing, any thoughts, any you are cultivating in this world, and you do that, and you give unto me first, and you involve me in that, and you'll find that I am there with you always and in every phase, everywhere. I am with you in every context. And you do what? You cultivate the devotion and love for me. Manmana bhavo madhbhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru. Mame Vashashi Satyante Pratijane Priyo Oshime. You have a love for me, you cultivate your devotion for me, and when you cultivate the devotion, you find that I get appeared, I am there in your life. Then the God is not an external, God is not in a far away, God is not a distant object. Now the God, the Lord Himself is your intrinsic identity. So you are now identified with Lord. You are now one with Lord. You are now Aham Brahmasmi. You are now equated to, you are now revealed. Lord is getting revealed through you, Aham Brahmasmi. You are now revealed, you know. What is that revealing? Lord Himself is getting revealed through you. Then Lord Krishna drives the chariot forward. He now applies his judgment. Once Arjuna has cultivated devotion, once Arjuna has cultivated surrender, once Arjuna has done that, has learned that, has experienced that, has understood, has realized that, Lord Krishna drives the chariot, you know, applying his own mind for that. Wherever it's required to be taken to, he is taking him to there. And that's what is the winning thing in life. That's what is the winning principle in the world. That's what is the principle of goodness in the world. And that's where is the, you know, principle of future world, where people will, human being will get transformed to divine humanity. And the divine humanity is full of the realization of God within, understanding that Lord resides within. That's Purna Yoga. That's being totally, fully with God. That's, you know, remaining with God. O the Lord, my sublime prayer to you, whoever is aspiring for that, be merciful, be graceful to that person, O the Lord. We shall now do the chanting once again. Om Bhagme Manasi Pratishthita Manaho Me Bachi Pratishthita. Abhihi Abhihi Me Yedhi
Abhihi Abhihi Me Yedhi
Vedasya Ma Anistaha Shrutang Me Ma Prahasiha Anenoditeno ahoratran sandadami. Ritang Bodhiswami, Satyang Bodhiswami, Tatmamabhatu, Tadbhaktaramabhatu, Abhatu Maam, Abhatu Bhaktaram, Abhatu Bhaktaram.
Abhatu Maam,
Abhatu Bhaktaram. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om
Om apayantu mama angani bhakana chakshuh.
Om
Shrotramatah balam indiyani cha sarvani. Sarvyang brahma upanishadam. Mahang Brahma Nirakuriyat Mama Brahma Nirakaro Anirakarnamastu Anirakarnam Meastu धर्मस्ते मोहि संतु ते मोहि संतु ओम शांति 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 ॐ पूर्णमादः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ सहनोऽवतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजसी नधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवति हरिः मह शं नो इन्द्रः बृहस्पतिः शं नो विष्णुरुक्रमः नमः ब्रह्मणे नमः ते वायु त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मसि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि रीतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तत्मामवतु तद्भक्तारामवतु अवतु माम् अवतु भक्ताराम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णे भीष्णां देवाम् ॐ
ভদ্রাং পশ্যেম অক্ষোভিয়যোত্রাঃ স্থিরৈরঙ্গৈ তুষ্টুবাংশতনুভিঃ বসিমো দেবহিতং যতায়ুঃ ওম শান্তি 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 We shall now do a meditation for 2 minutes. 2 minutes meditation for everyone. 2 minutes meditation now. Jai Ma, Jai Ma, Jai Ma. We're now closing for the day. We shall have the session once again next Sunday at 5:30 Indian Standard Time. Amra ekhon bondho korchi, shobai bhalo thakun. Wish you all the best. Shobai bhalo thakun. Ekhon amra bondho korchi. Abar agami roibar 5:30 tay amra milito hobo. Wish you all the best. All the best. All the best.